T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And joining us on the Great Midwest Hotline from Nashville with his oilpressure.com, one of the best writers in the business in the IndyCar paddock, I think. I've known him for a few years. It's George Phillips. George, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, and you are way too kind. I'm an average writer at best.
Well, I always enjoy your stuff, and you know, we see each other at the races, and you know, it's a lot of fun covering the IndyCar series. A lot of things going on, and just like that, it's the final race of the year at a new venue for some, I guess, but for drivers like Tony Kanaan and Scott Dixon and that. Who raced at Laguna Seca back in the old Champ Car days, kind of returned to an old friend, I guess you could say. And what's your opinion? Is it better to be at Laguna Seca for the finale? Are you happy to see it return to the calendar?
Ask me on Monday.
Right.
I'm just not sure. I was never fond of Sonoma. I actually went to Sonoma for the first time last year. I made my plans to go before they announced that that would be the last year there. But I think it's pick your poison. Neither of those tracks are ideal for passing and great racing. I tend to look at Laguna Seca more as a traditional track, and I tend to be a traditionalist, so I would say that I would prefer Laguna Seca, but I don't think one is much better than the other.
Yeah, I can understand what you're saying. And let's face it, that is a track and a series that's been living off the famous pass by Alex Zanardi over Brian Herta. You know, that's going on 20 years now. You know, much beyond that. I mean, if you look back even before then. You had they would have the Marlboro Challenge there, which was their version of the All-Star Race in the 90s and that. And, I kind of agree with you. Let's see how it plays out. But I do like it. It's a traditional racetrack. I'd rather see them at a traditional road course, I should say, as opposed to like a street course.
Yeah. And you mentioned the old Marlboro Challenge. I think one of the most exciting moments, of course, that race was always run on a Saturday, and mm-hmm. I don't know how many people ever watched it, but I think it was in 91. I think Rick Mears was about to win that, and he came off of the final turn, and I don't know if he missed a shift or what, but he slowed, and Michael Andretti came around and took the win at the last second.
Yeah.
That, to me, is probably a more thrilling moment at Laguna Seca that I can think of than the pass in 96.
Yeah, and it's a double points race this weekend. Of course, there's four people have a mathematical challenge or a mathematical opportunity to win it, but you have Joseph Newgarden, who's basically in control of it. You have Simon Pagenaud, and then Alexander Rossi. Scott Dixon is the one who has a mathematical, you know, he could win it, but it's very, very, you know, a lot of things would have to happen. So I'm calling it a three-car race. You know, Newgarden's in the catbird seat. We've seen this happen before in the past where, you know, somebody just has to finish the race. And it's almost like if you run conservative, sometimes that can cause more problems than it's worth, isn't it?
Yeah, we have seen that before, and I think if I were Joseph Newgarden, which of course I'm not, but I think I'll go out and try to win the race. If you go out there and try to finish fourth, you might end up finishing fifth. But the thing is, even if, of course, everybody knows that Newgarden has to finish fourth, and it's automatic, but the thing is, even if Rossi finishes second in the race. All Newgarden has to do is finish ninth. So I really think that most likely Newgarden is going to win this thing. But after what I've seen this weekend with Rossi, and Rossi has not had a good weekend so far. Now, they haven't run qualifying yet, so he could end up on the front row. But if he doesn't end up on the front row with passing at a premium, I think we might ought to be focusing our attention on Simon Pagenaud to see what he can do. And I think I don't like that when it comes down between two teammates, but if I were Newgarden, I think I'd start worrying about Paget, my own teammate, than I would Alexander Rossi.
Yeah, especially Pagenaud is definitely a wild card, especially with some of the speculation that's been coming about. There's been a rumor, whatever you want to call it, that's been floated out there with the spam team, the Schmidt-Peterson and a McLaren team. Pagenaud has a one-year contract, and it would make sense for McLaren to hire Pagenaud, especially with the connection with Pagenaud has with Schmidt-Peterson early on, and also with Gilles Deferrin. So I'm wondering, if I'm Pagenaud, Penske always says it's between the drivers, as long as he doesn't get stupid, obviously. But I think Pagenaud is like, hey, I don't care. I'm going to try and win this thing. And if he has to put a wheel into his Newgarden side pod, I truly think he's going to.
I agree. And I don't think that Pagenaud has forgotten what Newgarden did to him at Gateway a couple of years ago. And I just, I think Pagenaud did save his job in the month of May. But I still think he's thinking, I still need to keep winning if I want to be here past beyond 2020.
Well, and it bodes well. I mean, let's say Pagenaud does somehow win the championship in that, then that puts him, and then you're in a situation that he would want to be, where he could start a bidding war between Penske and McLaren for 2021.
However, and I've heard the same rumor you were talking about. My first thought is, why would you leave Team Penske unless you just want nothing but money? Why would you leave Team Penske to a team that failed to qualify for the Indianapolis 500 this past year?
Oh, that's a good point. But
those two combined teams, merged teams, bought out teams, however you want to phrase it, both of those teams have failed to make the 500 in the last 2 years. So I just can't see Pagenaud leaving Penske to go into that environment.
See, this is why we have George Phillips on the show here, because he makes excellent points like this. That's a very good point. So I tell you what, let's take a quick break here, and we'll have you back on the next segment. I want to talk some silly season, expand on the thoughts where some of these drivers could be moving for next year, and even going into 2021 when the new car comes. We'll be talking more with George Phillips, and check out his stuff at oilpressure.com, and we'll be right back on the Final Inspection Show. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary David Hobbs Honda and, of course, Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Make sure you check out Great Lakes Dragway, their Facebook page. They are closed today due to impending weather, but make sure you check them out on Facebook page and see if they'll be open tomorrow. Don't know how long this weather will hang out, but it's supposed to be moving in this afternoon and throughout the night. So is it raining now? So I am not mowing the lawn when I get home. Okay, cross that off the list. So joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is George Phillips from oilpressure.com. George, what's the latest at your website?
Well, I up there right now, as opposed to put up there yesterday. Just his real original title is called the Laguna Seca Preview. And for those that are not familiar with my site, I post three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, even throughout the entire off season, and try, emphasis on the word try, to post every day in the month of May, because this is not my day job. So, but I've been doing this for going on 11 years now.
It's a good site, and I, like I said before, I always appreciate your work and your writing, and it's good stuff. And we've spoken prior before, especially in the lunchroom at the Indianapolis Media Center a few times.
which we both seem to find ourselves in quite often.
So, and we are also football fans. I suppose you're keeping one eye on the Vols, which ain't doing too well today, and we're watching the Badgers in the studio here.
It's 17-0 Florida right now, unless they've scored since we've been talking.
Ouch. So yeah, not a good day for the Orange. But certainly switching gears back to IndyCar racing, one of the things is kind of not a surprise, but for a guy who keeps sponsors a long time, it is AJ Foyt Racing, who's only had basically three sponsors over the last 40-plus years. And ABC Supply is leaving the team full-time, will rejoin AJ Foyt Racing for Indianapolis only. But they could have two new drivers next year. Due to the pecking order and where they're at in the paddock and that, it kind of works in the top down, doesn't it? So we saw, you know, the big news was, you know, where is Rossi going to go? Okay, he's back at Andretti Racing. Colton Herta, we've kind of figured what was going to happen. Basically, that team is going to merge back to Andretti with Steinbrenner. Harding is out. And so that's part of that team. Well, what's next coming down the line for IndyCar racing in their silly season?
Well, I think everything really hinges on McLaren, and I have nothing to base this on. No, it's just more of a gut feeling, but the common thought now is that Hinchcliffe is going to stay at McLaren, and I don't think he is.
I don't think so either.
I tend to side with Robin Miller. I think he is going to be in a Honda team. I think Honda will move mountains to keep Hinchcliffe out of McLaren. So, I call it McLaren because I think in 2 years that's going to be the full name of the team. McLaren.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I talked to I sound like I'm name dropping, so I'm not even going to drop the name, but I did talk to somebody a lot more in the know than I am at Pocono. And he was telling me that for all these people who think this is going to be a merger, they're crazy. He said, this is going to be a house cleaning at, as you call it, the spam team over this off season.
Mm-hmm. Well, it appears to be, it's going to be a transitional year. Especially with the new car coming and everything, and you could have at least one driver. I think what might happen is you might get a young driver, whether it's somebody like Venus VK or somebody like that, and then maybe have Connor Daly, which is a name that's been bantied about, driving there for 1 year until they're able to get another name. Is that something you think that could be viable?
Yeah, I do think that I think Connor Daly is if I were Connor Daly, I do think I would go to that situation rather than Carlin.
Yes.
I know everybody says, well, Carlin's won everywhere they've been, just give them time. Well, I still think it's going to take them a while to find their footing in IndyCar. And I think that if I were Connor Daly, which once again, I'm not, I would tend, if given the choice between going with Carlin and McLaren, I think I would look strongly at going with McLaren.
I totally agree, because that could be his best opportunity to shine. I mean, let's face it, him getting podium finishes or a win with McLaren is much more impressive than him finishing seventh, eighth, or ninth with Carlin, which would be above their finishing now. So, I mean, yeah. I think there's definitely, you got to go with the more upside. And we've seen drivers have done this before. You go with the better team short term and hope for better things to happen to you after that. Or they keep you.
And I think Connor Daly is going to have a good weekend this weekend. I think he finished 12th in the final practice today. And, of course, we'll see how he qualifies and races. But, you know, he won two races there just this past weekend. So at Laguna Seca, when IMSA was there. So, and he's already familiar with the Andretti team. It's been a while since he raced with them. He's raced with how many other teams has he raced
right.
with since Indianapolis? But I think he's going to have a strong weekend, and I think this just works out well for him.
Well, you know,
I think he's going to have choices for once.
Yes. I agree. I got a buddy of mine who's not the Connor Daly fan. He's always like dismissing him. Oh, he can't drive this and that. And you know, he has struggled at times. And of course, he's had some good runs at Gateway and that. But I think now, even with the Portland race, you know, it didn't work out for him. But he qualified well. He was able to get in that team, qualify, have a good qualifying. And I think he would have really shown in that race, because I think he's finally got the confidence now. He's instead of going in and pressing and trying, he's like, okay, I can do this. Let's just go about it and work the weekend and see what happens. And the confidence has gained. And I think it's almost one of those things where to go faster, you have to slow down. And I think that's going to happen in his case.
And I agree. I think he's got a lot more confidence now, but I also think that he's got a little bit more maturity now.
Mm-hmm.
Not only what he does on the track, but I think the way he approaches his job. I think that was one of the raps against him when he was at Foyt, I think he is perceived as not taking his job seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he has shaken that rap over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think he has. You know, it's a fine line where some people, you know, drivers are trying to raise their profile, doing whether it's social media or whatnot, and you're trying to get your name out there. And some people consider that a negative, or they're worried more about raising their name than their craft, I guess. And maybe that might have been certainly a criticism of him. But I think he's finally getting the seat time. I'm a big proponent of a lot of these young drivers, especially on the open wheel side, just do not get the seat time they need to excel. You look in the past where we had so much more testing in that, whether it's somebody like Rick Mears or Michael Andretti, you look at how many miles they were able to do in testing compared to somebody like Alexander Rossi or even a Joseph Newgarden compared to now. It kind of hinders their development as a driver.
Yeah, I agree. And when you have somebody coming into IndyCar at a young age, say like Zach Veach, because he has not had a good season at all this year, when you compare him to a Felix Rosenquist, who, yes, he's a rookie, but look at how much more experience he has. And even though they're not in this car, I still think a lot of it translates. And so I think that's why you're seeing Rosenquist perform well. However, look at Colton Herta.
Mm-hmm.
I still think he's who I'm going to be watching this weekend at Laguna Seca, because he is either going to win the race or he's going to tear up a lot of equipment, because he's been all over the track this weekend, and I hope he doesn't take anybody else with him if he gets too overzealous. But he has been fast.
Yeah, and then one driver we haven't mentioned so far who's been very, very impressive, and I just thought he was going to be a human wrecking ball early in the season, was Santino Ferrucci, and he's, you know, been showing the maturity. Let's face it, he came into this series with some baggage, and it's certainly just gelled with that 19 team and has looked very impressive, hasn't he?
Yes, and how when was the last time that Dale Coyne was talking about finalizing the seat for his second car in September?
Exactly. Yep.
And I hope he's able to keep him, because I think they are both good for each other.
Yeah, they certainly do. And of course, Bourdais has signed on for, you know, for next year. And you wonder, you know, could this be his final year in IndyCar? You know, I personally think it could be. And you know, but God bless Dale Coyne. You know, for somebody who I first saw up at Road America in the mid '80s, you know, I didn't see him in that when he drove that Eagle, but I saw him when he was driving that Lola with the Chevy in it. You know, running about 3 seconds behind the pack.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, and was able to persevere and grow that team, and of course had to, let's face it, you know, you had to have money to race for Coyne, but he needed to do that to survive, and has been able to through the years. And you know, he was kind of a, you know, a punchline in the paddock, but
you know,
he's still around, and a lot of those teams that were criticizing him and whatnot are not. So, you know, hats off, tip of the hat to Dale Coyne, what he's been able to do all these years. And I mean, I was so happy when he and Justin Wilson won a few years back, and he's been able to visit, you know, Victory Lane a couple times, and it's pretty impressive. You know, like I said, to consider where he was and where he came from, basically a landscaper from Northern Illinois. You know, it's you know, pretty cool stuff, isn't it, George?
Yeah, and even though they have had a good year, especially with Ferrucci, and you know, Bourdais has had a decent time of it. This will be the first year in, what, 3 years that they have not won a race.
Yeah, but I think
assuming they don't win on Sunday,
right? Yeah, and we'll see what happens. One thing I want to mention, you know, we mentioned Hinchcliffe. Yeah, do you think if he does go with Honda, it certainly makes sense if he goes over to the Ray Hall team as a third car, doesn't it?
Yes, because I've seen here in the last week or so that third car is looking less likely. I don't know. I'm assuming a potential sponsor fell through, and it's, I don't know if it's coincidence or what, but about the same time we were hearing that the third car is seeming less likely, then suddenly we hear that Chip Ganassi might be open to running a third car. So I don't know that I can see James Hinchcliffe at Ganassi, but I guess stranger things have happened.
It certainly would be.
I do agree that the most likely scenario would be to see him at Ray Hall, but, you know, business makes strange bedfellows sometimes.
It certainly does. Well, George, we certainly appreciate you taking time out, and wish for better luck for your Vols, who unfortunately got scored on again by Florida, and also your Titans. You know, I follow you on Facebook and Twitter, and I, you know, are they ever going to get an offense?
I don't even know. Not until they get a line.
Yeah, that Thursday game was frustrating for the Titans.
Nine sacks on Mariota,
yeah.
And Mariota needs some improvement, but it's not all his fault.
Yeah. All right, well, George, best of luck, and better luck to your football teams for the rainy season, and enjoy Laguna tomorrow.
I will, and I have enjoyed this.
All right. Well, thanks for joining the show. We'll definitely have you on again.
Sounds good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.